As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And a very good morning. You are listening to Become Vocal Local over the Oracle Broadcasting Network. I'm your host. My name is William Roberts. It is Monday, March the 2nd, 2009. We've got a lot on the plate today. Just a whole gob and a bunch to go over. While many of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters are away for the top of the hour station ID, their news, their weather, their sports break, and so on, during this first and shortest segment of today's broadcast, please allow me to take this opportunity to thank you for tuning in this morning. You know, sometimes a disclaimer is necessary. I'm going to throw one out there. I'll repeat it from time to time, not to make it a daily drill. But I do think that the audience deserves to hear a disclaimer from time to time, because not everything that you hear on your internet radio, not everything you hear in the news, not everything you read in the news is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So I'll just simply say it this way, that the opinions expressed by me on Become Vocal Local are my own, or the authors of the various referenced source material that I present. Opinions and comments expressed by guests and callers are their own. All information presented on the broadcast is intended solely for the edification and enjoyment of the audience and may or may not reflect the viewpoint of Oracle Broadcasting Network, its other hosts, its sponsors, or its affiliate broadcasters, including the station which may be now bringing this signal to you. So listener discretion is always advised. Please verify the accuracy and the utility of the information that I present within your own body of research. That way we don't become a bunch of lemmings lockstepping into the sea, believing every little wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. We want to turn our brains on. We want to turn our minds on. We want to scramble and get yourself a pen or a paper or both so that you can take notes during the broadcast. Maybe if you are not pen and paper oriented, you want to open up the notepad or something so you can type in information and clues and tips as we go through the broadcast, and certainly take advantage of the fact that there are archives of these programs. Download them, listen to them again later, maybe put them on your iPod. I don't know how those things work. Carry them around so that you can listen to it. There's lots of ways to listen to the broadcast. You can listen on the Internet, of course, but you can also call in at 512-904-8014 if you have unlimited long distance on your telephone. And I think if you click on option two, you can listen to the broadcast right off your telephone. Interesting option there. So there's lots of things that you can, there's lots of ways that you can listen to this broadcast besides just sitting here and listening to it. And again, if you value the information you hear on this or any of the broadcasts on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, if you can and as you can, perhaps you'd consider supporting Oracle Broadcasting by visiting their homepage. It's oraclebroadcasting.com. Locate that chip-in banner on the homepage and make a generous contribution each month to keep Oracle on the air, on the web, and growing. You can also buy a variety of different products on the web to support. So if you don't want to just make a cash donation, you want to get a little bit of something back for your dollars, you can also go in and look at the click on the Oracle Broadcasting Gear link on the Oracle homepage and view all of the quality Cafe Press products, each emblazoned with the Oracle Broadcasting Network logo and your choice of colors. You'll find T-shirts, golf tees, hoodies, sweats, and many more items. You can also get your dog smiling and styling in its own Oracle Doggy T-shirt. So there's lots of ways to support the broadcast. There's a lot of ways to support the network. But also, as we do continue to add more micro-broadcasters, as we do continue to attract other affiliate stations, the big blowtorches and whatnot, do, whenever you can, buy American, shop locally, support your local sponsors first and foremost, and then support our network sponsors too, because together we can take America back, one precinct, one county, and one state at a time. But we'll need to do that by thinking ahead, planning ahead, and working ahead. I spent the whole weekend doing a lot of research, typed up a huge work. We're going to start that right after this break, so stay right there. We'll be right back here on Become Vocal Local.
Hey Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Wee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate controlled mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
MySpace. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music-slash-business or a freedom-slash-patriot-related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Ah, yes. Well, the sun is shining over Missouri, folks, and it's time for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. You can be a part of it. Welcome to the Monday, March the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's OracleBroadcasting.com. We're on the web. I'm on the web. They're on the web. It's www.vocallocal.org and OzarksVoter.info, two interesting sites. If you haven't been by and visited VocalLocal.org, you might take a look at it, especially pause and read Plan B. It's another way of looking at things. My name is William Robertson. I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you once again today. As I love to say, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become Vocal Local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become Vocal Local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or simply pick up the telephone and call in now. It's 512-904-8014. So for those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, simply call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you may call toll-free at 866-841-1065. Again, that's 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, P.O. Box 96. That's Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Missouri 65647. Again, that's Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri. The big mo to me, 65647. Again, those websites are vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number is 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. You might be able to understand why you want to have a pencil and paper handy. Give out information. Sometimes I only give it out once. It comes out, goes into cyberspace, and gone. If you haven't written it down, it's lost until the next broadcast. Today, Golden Fleece. Golden Fleece, is this just an analyst rhetoric? It reeks of Dadaism. To me, we'll talk about the financial news, putting a historical foundation on the new economic order for the next 2 hours. We're going to talk about the new economic order. We're going to put a historical foundation on it. Did a whole gob and a bunch of research on that over the weekend. I think you'll find it very interesting and certainly something that you need to use in your research. Let's go to those market reports for today. Monday, March the 2nd, we're entering the last month of the first quarter of 2009. Monday, March the 2nd, 2009, active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m., 1 hour ago. Gold was trading up $9.80 to $949.40. That's a 1.04% move upwards. Silver, likewise, up 7 cents to $13.18 an ounce. Platinum was trading up $17 to $1,089 per ounce. Palladium up $2 to $196 per ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average still at 7,062.93 points. 7062 for the Dow Jones. The NASDAQ 1377.94. The U.S. dollar index up 19 basis points, trading at 88.73. So it's up a little bit there, trading in the 88 range. Crude oil off $2.36, trading to $42.40. That gold silver ratio stands at 72.13. The low and the high in the spot market so far, 944.30 to 959.20. Fairly good spread there, 15 bucks or thereabouts. And the spot market will close in about 8 hours. So with that under our belt, let's go into some more of these financial news. Now, when I started the broadcast off, I said the golden fleece, analyst rhetoric, reeks of Dadaism. Do you know what Dadaism is? If you don't, look it up. Dadaism. Bunch of nonsense, if you will. Analyst rhetoric. The golden fleece. Who's getting fleeced for the gold here? But let's listen anyway. Listen into what some of these golden market analysts have to say. This out of Bloomberg, Nicholas Larkin. Gold rebounds from the biggest drop since December on haven demand. That old idea of safe haven demand. This is that rhetoric that reeks of Dadaism. Every time it goes up, they talk about investors jumping in for safe haven, and every time it goes down, they talk about corrections and pullbacks. Let's find out more about it. March the 2nd, gold climbed for the first time in six sessions in London as stock markets tumbled on speculation that economies are worsening, adding to the metal's appeal as a store of value, and platinum also gained. Now, is there anything that we can take away from that first sentence? Is there any value in that? Or is this Dadaism, this analytical rhetoric that I've been talking about? Look into it a little deeper here. European and Asian equities dropped and U.S. stock index futures fell after billionaire investor Warren Buffett said, quote, the American economy is in shambles. Is that all it takes to shake world economic, the economic structure? Warren Buffett says the American economy is in shambles. I think you might be able to get the same kind of analysis from an eighth grader. Anybody that's watching, anybody that's even watching the news, even if you're getting it off of the day-to-day news, right off your television set, I think you could say that the American economy is in shambles. A revised government bailout for insurer American International Group, Inc., AIG, fanned concern that financial companies may need more capital. Wouldn't you like to be able to stand in line for this, folks? Wouldn't you like to be AIG and talk about, you know, how much more capital you need? Print it up out of thin air. You know, as the insane children run our insane economy. Gold lost 5.1% last week, the most since early December. If you were listening to the broadcast last week, you know that's the truth. Here's a quote. Deepening fears surrounding the global economic picture have lifted gold, close quote, said James Moore, an analyst at the BullionDesk.com in London. The metal will likely trade between $930 an ounce and $970 an ounce in the short term. Well, that's pretty safe there, James. $40 spread, I would say yes, in the short term. It very likely will trade in that range. But then he says, before climbing to a record on concern, economies may deteriorate. Well, if you aren't concerned about the deterioration of the economy, you're living on Mars. But, of course, the various analysts have to write something every morning. They get paid probably by the word. Bullion for immediate delivery rose as much as $16.16, or 1.7%, to $958.1 an ounce and traded at 948.63 at 1:20 p.m. local time. That would be London, so it looks like. April futures gained $6.60, or 7%, to $949.10 an ounce in electronic trading on the New York Mercantile Exchange COMEX division. Gold, which reached a record of $1,032.70 an ounce a year ago, is up 7.5% this year. The MSCI World Index has slid 20%, with Citigroup, Swiss Reinsurance Company, and other financial companies posting most of the 10 biggest drops. We'll be back. Stay right there.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth a thousand keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we've returned, and one of our chatters in the chat room commented during the break that you might as well just throw the gold away. Well, if anybody wants to throw their gold away, just be sure and let me know where it is that you've thrown it. I'll be more than happy to send somebody out to pick it up. I don't think it's time really necessarily to throw gold away, but we definitely need to be paying real close attention, really close attention to what's going on here. Let me jump out of the Bloomberg article and run over to another one here, this by Devin Maley. London, March the 2nd, Dow Jones Commodities News via Comtex. Here in this little article, it says, spot gold up in Europe and awaits the U.S. Open. Spot gold prices traded up Monday in Europe, adding to gains in Asia amid lower equities and market concerns over an extended rescue for Citigroup, further U.S. assistance for AIG, and a spate of other banking concerns. Traders and analysts said more gold buying should occur amid these problems, but with exchange-traded fund inflows slow in recent sessions and a series of central bank meetings this week, investors may be cautious and consolidate gains ahead of the U.S. Open. I draw your attention to this phrase, exchange-traded fund inflows, which are slowing. And also notice here, a series of central bank meetings this week. These are becoming more important phrases as I get to understand more about what's happening in the market. Here's another brief article. This one out of Mumbai, this India now. Gold futures hover around a record high. Gold, this is Sunday, March the 1st, 2009. Gold was hovering around so many rupees, blah, 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 an all-time trading price high, with consumers avoiding buying new gold and preferring to exchange old gold for new. So there's lateral movement, let's say, in the market. Lateral movement in the market. Let's drop down again. This one out of the Arabian Business News, ArabianBusiness.com. For jewelers, gold loses its shine. Gulf Jewelers, and I've been reporting on this for some time now, but Gulf Jewelers, again, what are Gulf? We're talking about the Persian Gulf Jewelers. Basically, what we're talking about is Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, etc., which is part of a triangle, by the way, London, Abu Dhabi, and New York City. It's a financial market that is gaining ground rapidly. We need to be aware of it. It's a new triangle, really strong triangle that's being built here. Gulf Jewelers are reporting lackluster sales as gold prices are pushed up by recession-spooked investors seeking a solid asset class. Now, when we get news out of Abu Dhabi, what we're primarily looking at is the jewelers marketplace, largely because there are a lot of people that go to the United Arab Emirates for a holiday and buy gold and other jewelry items. So let's go into a little further here. It says, some things may never change in the Gulf's traditional souks, haggling being one of them. But the price of gold certainly does. Gold reached $1,000 per ounce last month for the first time in almost a year as investors turned to a traditional safe haven in volatile times. More of this rhetoric, okay? Traditional safe haven. Yes, 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 we know. We can understand that. But there's more going on in here in all of this rhetoric. I'm going to try and break through that barrier a little bit today and this week and try and find out more about what's happening in these markets. Gold has again proven its core investment qualities as a store of value, safe haven, and portfolio diversifier, and this has struck a chord with nervous investors. For the region's jewelers, that has added to the pain of slowing consumer spending, especially among tourists. Now, this particular article goes on and on and on and talks about the various jewelers and the jewelry brokers and things like that who are having a problem not being able to sell move their wares at this price. But there's other things happening in this region. According to the World Gold Council, now how many of you done any research on what is the World Gold Council? You might make a note of that and look it up. Global demand for gold assets rose by 29% last year to $102 billion. See, it's really not time to throw away gold when it's rising like that. While equity markets around the world lost an estimated $14 trillion in value, investment demand for gold, which includes exchange-traded funds, again, I'm going to focus that and bring it to your attention, exchange-traded funds, ETFs, and bars and coins rose 64%, over the year as a whole, the gold price averaged $872, up 25% from $695 in 2007. Again, demand for gold jewelry in the Middle East fell 7% in the fourth quarter of last year, but was largely offset by a 139% surge in retail investment, which excludes the ETFs and similar products. And we're going to go into these ETFs this week. The rise in investment demand for gold as an asset class was widespread across the region, with growth of 300% in Saudi Arabia, 67% in Egypt, 38% in the UAE, and 2% in other Gulf countries. The surge in Saudi Arabian investment offset an 11% fall in jewelry sales in the quarter in that kingdom. Western region managed a flat performance as the Hajj pilgrimage season underpinned the market, while demand in the eastern and central regions were particularly weak. Here's a final quote. Quote, it says, quote, gold has again proven its core investment qualities as a store of value, safe haven, and portfolio diversifier, and this has struck a chord with nervous investors, says, here's a name, Aram Shishmanian, the chief executive of the World Gold Council. More work on this World Gold Council as I do more research into this issue. Back to the Bloomberg article, losing streak again. There's a variety of things here. The metal fell to $949.50 in the morning fixing, quote-unquote fixing in London. There's a price-fixing thing that goes on twice a day in London. We talked about that a little bit last week. Used by some mining companies to sell production from $952 at February the 27th afternoon fixing, last week's five-day drop for spot prices was the worst losing streak since September. Quote, despite the correction... Here's the use of this phrase, correction. Is this a correction that we're seeing, or is this manipulation that you're seeing? But I'll just use it. Despite the correction, many analysts consider the upside momentum still intact. That's more of this investor rhetoric, doublespeak, upside momentum still intact, given there's no end in sight for troubles in the financial sector. London-based ODL Securities Limited said today in a report, AIG reported a $61.7 billion fourth quarter loss, and the HSBC Holdings PLC said it will raise 12.5 billion pounds, or 17.7 billion U.S., in a rights offer. Some investors are buying gold as a hedge against future inflation as governments and central banks, key phrases there, spend trillions of dollars to combat the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. Of course, they're not spending trillions. They don't have trillions. These are broke banks trying to shore up a broken economic system by the creation of dollars, printing press money, digital entries to combat the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression, which was also engineered, by the way. Continuing, bullion rose to an 11-month high of $1,006.29 on February the 20th. You notice I've been mentioning that every time this number comes up, it's a different number, and here it's even higher than it was the last time around. The last time around, it was $1,004. Now it's $1,006. So what was the high anyway? Spot prices may rebound this week as investors seek a safe haven. According to 20 of 31 traders, investors and analysts surveyed from Tokyo to Chicago said last week, seven respondents advised selling and four were neutral. More interesting things in there. Scrap sales. Still, hedge fund managers and other large speculators decreased their net long positions or their bets the price will rise by 2% in New York gold futures in the week ended February the 24th, according to U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission data. Gold fell last week after higher prices spurred sales of scrap metal. We talked about that. Scrap gold being sold in India. Stay right there. We will be back on the other side of this brief commercial intermission.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy, my name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, those call-in numbers in the Austin area are 512-904-8014, and internationally around America, around the world, you can call in at 866-841-1065. Any ideas, comments, or opinions on the gold situation or financial information at all, be welcome today. Back to this article again, closing out this Bloomberg article, talking about scrap sales. You know, we've been talking about that over in India and Dubai and other places, but India primarily. Let's see what he says here. This is Nicholas Larkin. Still, hedge fund managers and other large speculators, again, decrease their net long positions or their bets. So they're decreasing their bets, the net longs, long positions, betting on a decline in the price. Gold fell last week after higher prices spurred the sales of scrap metal. Gold imports by India, the world's biggest consumer. I mean, how many people really remember that? Make a note of it on your notepad. India, the world's biggest gold consumer. It fell by 2%, fell for the fourth straight month to almost nil in February, according to provisional estimates from the Bombay Bullion Association Limited. Their bullion buying is, gold buying in general is down to almost nothing last month. Assets in the SPDR Gold Trust, the biggest exchange-traded fund backed by bullion, held at a record 1,029.29 metric tons as of February 27th. That was as of Friday. 1,029.29 metric tons of gold as of Friday, February the 27th. Holdings in the fund have increased 32% since the start of the year, as investors sought a store of value. Have you checked out the SPDR Gold Trust? have you? Might be worth your time. Let's go into this new economic order just a little bit more. As you know, I have lots of dictionaries and encyclopedias in my library, as well as many other books that carry on from what you can find in the encyclopedias and the dictionaries. But I look to the encyclopedias a lot of times because they provide a good snapshot and good background material that sometimes just slips through the cracks and doesn't get out into common parlance, if you will, largely because most of the encyclopedias that I have are old encyclopedias, and so it depends on what you're studying, what you're looking into, as to the relevance of the material you might find in them. If you're looking for the latest innovations in transhumanist accessories, you're not going to find it in the old encyclopedias. But some of the stuff that's in there is priceless. This is an inquiry into the origin, history, and purpose of the new economic order. And where I'm going to go so in this broadcast today will be as far as I can in this almost 20-page document that I created over the weekend. And basically what it is, it's like a copybook. You know, in the studies, if you've ever studied early law, jurisprudence, back in the temples, the temple bars, the temples of England, the students would put together copybooks. You know, they didn't have Xerox machines in those days, and buying books was kind of expensive and difficult. And so what they would do is they would take their pads and paper, and they would go and they would copy information out of the things that they were reading, readings in law, readings in history, readings from certain books and publications, and they would sit there and they would copy key phrases, key points, key issues, philosophies, hypotheses, premises, conclusions into their copy books. And so for me, I've developed over the years kind of a copy book, electronic, if you will, but nevertheless, a copy book. And so I go into these various encyclopedias when I'm doing inquiries and studies. I just simply type out the whole encyclopedia article. Sometimes they're brief, sometimes they're quite long, so that I have them all in one place, and I don't have to keep rushing back and forth and back and forth from volume to volume, sometimes forgetting or missing or overlooking an important article. But in this idea of this international economic order, let's start with the first word, international, and get a little bit of a background on that. This right out of the Universal World Reference Encyclopedia, 1955. International first, second, and third. These were labor associations representing socialist bodies from the various nations of the world. So you probably heard of the International, the First International, the Second International, and the Third International. This brief article has to do with that. The First International, officially called the International Working Men's Association, was formed at a meeting in London in 1864 for the purpose of promoting the revolutionary principles of its socialist leaders, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. In 1869, Mikhail Bakunin, the Russian anarchist, was admitted to membership, and this step led to a bitter internal strife between the socialists and the anarchists, ending in the expulsion of the latter in 1872. So they pitched out these anarchists, and so we had a division in the House, and we have the strong socialist party and the more anarchistic leaning socialist party. The International expired after the Congress held in Philadelphia in 1876. So the first one was in London. The second one was held in Philadelphia, of all places. The Second International, usually called the Socialist International, was established at Paris in 1889. You can see what we're talking about here is a period of 25 years, thereabouts, but was moved to Brussels the next year. It was much less revolutionary than its predecessor, and the Socialist International was suspended during World War I, but reorganized in 1919 as an organization of the moderate socialist parties. This Labor and Socialist International continued in existence until World War II broke out in 1939. So when we talk about, oh, the United States of America is, becoming socialized, socialist. My dear friends, wake up. We've had socialist activity going and spreading globally since the 1860s, thereabouts. The Third International was organized in 1919 after the Russian Revolution. And you know, of course, that was financed out of New York. The Russian Revolution, the Trotskyites, the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks, if you will, often called the Communist International or the Comintern. This is the Third International, the Comintern. International. It was the union of communist parties throughout the world. Its headquarters were in Moscow, were associated with and dominated by the Russian government. The dissolution of the Comintern was announced in 1943 at a time when Russia was asking the United States and Great Britain for a second front against Germany in the West. So you see, they put off the costume of communism when it's convenient and they put it back on again. In October 1947, an international meeting of the communist parties at Belgrade, Yugoslavia, set up a new organization which was referred to as an information bureau, but is now generally called the Cominform. It was a new communist international, although not so called. And that was written by an R.M. Roy from his Communist International published in 1943. One might say that he might be somewhat knowledgeable on the topic, and he's certainly right in the proximity contemporary with it all. Then there's another. If we just track out this concept of international, we learn a lot. There's another one here, the International Peace Conferences. See a show of hands for who can list off the various peace conferences. But here in this encyclopedia, this one from the World Book, Field Enterprises, 1958, they refer you, all they say is International Peace Conferences, and then they refer you, say, see, International Relations, Peace, Permanent Court of International Justice. So those are the three places you could go. And as I've mentioned before, when you study out of these encyclopedias and you get these C's and references and bibliographies, these are like the hot links that you might find on a Wikipedia article or something like that. Other places you could click on and go and see more about it. Let's go into international relations. International relations. Men have always looked for ways of working together. Goes right back to Aristotle, doesn't it? Regardless of the national differences. In the modern world, there are forces which make for cooperation among countries. Forces which make for cooperation among countries. And there are other forces which influence nations to draw away from one another and try to live isolated lives of their own. So we've got the isolationists and we've got the collectivists. You've got the individualists and you've got the collectivists. Cooperation among nations is often blocked by fear of attack, pride of race and nationality, and desire for more land or power on the part of the individual countries. That harkens back to Thomas Paine. Governments organized for war, always fostering and promoting national hatreds and national prejudices. Much in there on that. But nations are drawn together in many ways. The railroad, steamship, telegraph, airplane, radio, and television have conquered distance problems and made next-door neighbors of people once separated by vast distances. Now, if you go in and look at that sentence, the railroad, who was involved in that? Go pick it up on the other side. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Vocal.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate controlled mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
MySpace. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music / business or a freedom / patriot related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
And we have returned once again. You know, last week I talked a little bit about political socialization and the method by which people are turned into human beings through this process of political socialization. And so we do need to be aware of it. We also need to understand that even when you're referring to, and especially sometimes when you're referring to encyclopedias, depending on the authors, there are points of views, but there are also financiers behind the pictures that you don't see working behind the scenes, editors and editorial boards that are reviewing information to make sure that certain lines of reasoning and certain knowledge does, A, number one, doesn't get out, or B, does get out. And so we have to read with carefulness. You know, you chew your water and you drink your solid, so to speak. You chew and chew and chew this material. But in this one particular paragraph here, this is a huge sentence, really, that the railroad, the steamship, the telegraph, the airplane, the radio, the television have conquered the distance of problems and made next door neighbors of people once separated by vast distances, and all that's true. But the railroads, who were involved in the expansion of the railroads? You go back and look at Credit Mobilier in France and Credit Mobilier in the U.S. and all of the scams that were going on in all of that. The Rothschilds, you can be found in that. The steamship lines, you know, Fulton, coming up with the steamship, you know, he had a tremendous problem. I think it was with the Venetians there. Didn't like his little steamboat running around. They saw it as a great threat. So I think they scuttled that ship. He was able to survive the incident. The telegraph, again, another one of these things that you can control. The airplane, Wright Brothers and all that, you know, how long were the airplanes really independent before that was taken over? Radio, same thing, you know, that's Nikola Tesla, really, not Marconi. Television, I don't remember who the inventor of the television was right at the top of my mind, but look at what has come of the use of the telegraph, the airplane, the radio, the television, and all that. The railroads, steamships. Let's go into it further here. It says, education, travel, and modern science tend to unite people in all countries. Well, there's truth in that. But it's this idea of the education, the travel, and modern science, they work together to politically socialize the people of the world into one global community, divided in space and time only. Commerce has made nations dependent on one another for their means of livelihood and for keeping up their standards of living. Here's that nefarious terminology again, standard of living. But there's more involved in that, in that commerce has made nations dependent on one another. Rather than, we talked about that, drew a little distinction between self-sufficiency and self-reliance. You know, self-sufficiency is kind of like the utopian dream. Self-reliance is another story. It's accessible in a man's life, the individuality of a person. But again, commerce has made nations dependent on one another for their means of livelihood and for keeping up this specious standard of living. Continuing diplomatic relations. In each country, the conduct of relations with other countries is usually placed in the hands of a Department of Foreign Affairs or a Department of State, State Department, Hillary Rodham Clinton. These departments handle government matters connected with immigration, travel, foreign trade, communications with other countries, and money problems. Money problems. Money problems. Foreign trade. We're not going to touch on these subjects lightly, folks. I might spend several days, perhaps the entire week, on this inquiry into the new economic order, so follow along with me, if you will. State Department supervise the diplomatic and consular agents who represent their countries in foreign lands. Who does? The State Departments do. And diplomatic officers are usually sent to all friendly foreign nations. They negotiate treaties, communicate information, and in general, try to keep on a friendly basis. If you've studied the Constitution, you know that the treaties that we enter into are as high a law as even our Constitution. And who is negotiating those treaties? These consular agents representing the countries via the State Departments. There's no one in the State Department that's elected. Those are all appointments. Those are appointments made by presidents. And the State Departments just live on and on and on and on and grow and grow and grow. Lots happening in there. International conferences, the next subhead in this article. A great deal of business between nations is carried on by means of conferences. How many conferences were held last year by the various organs and bodies of the United Nations? I believe there was over 4,000. And were you invited to any of them? Did you follow any of those 4,000 conferences? Continuing here, it says, conferences have usually been held after wars to decide the terms of peace. In recent years, there have been more and more conferences in peacetime. And boy, are we going to go into all of this. These conferences have settled many questions of international law. So we have the laws of nature and the laws and nature's God, as Thomas Paine talked about in the Declaration. But we also have the international law. If you go back to Hugo Grotius, Samuel Pufendorf, and others, the Admiral Cristobal Colombo, the great Admiral of the Sea, the law of the sea, treaties coming on right in there, Lex Mercatorior or Mercatoria. The law of the merchants, the law merchants, Uniform Commercial Code, Uniform Law Commission, and so on and so forth. All these things we'll go into. These conferences have settled many questions of international law. The Washington Naval Conference of 1921 set limits for naval armaments and adopted a pact to maintain the open door, close unquote, in China. You thought the open door policy was with Reagan and Nixon. The World Economic Conference in 1933. Have you studied the World Economic Conference in 1933? Sought an agreement on the stabilization of currencies. On the stabilization of what? On currencies. Between 1919 and the outbreak of World War II, there were more than 100 international conferences. And I'm trying to build a list of those. And I don't have all 100 yet. The maintenance of peace, next subhead here under this encyclopedia article. All nations benefit more from peace than from war, do they? But war has been the principal problem of the nations during the 1900s. We had 100 years of war, and when Jorge Bush declared his war against Afghanistan, he crowed and bragged and strutted about the first war of the 21st century, as if soiling a new century with more war was a crown, a jewel in his diadem. Many new relationships have been set up in the hope that they would help to preserve peace. And the Bible teaches peace, peace, and there will be no peace. They come preaching peace and they get no peace. These various peace conferences and the United Nations. The Hague Conference of 1899 and 1907 provided that a third state could offer to mediate between two disputing nations. So we have this idea of mediation between nations. A permanent court of arbitration was established at the Hague in 1899. That's the Hague or the Hague in 1899. A permanent court of arbitration, 1899. The Paris Peace Conference created the League of Nations in 1920, but the United States refused to join in. You know the story, probably. The Permanent Court of International Justice was established in 1922. The Kellogg-Briand Pact of 1928, ratified by more than 60 nations, was supposed to outlaw war. What happened to that? Supposed to outlaw war, signed a pact. The Kellogg-Briand Pact, we'll go into that. Probably not hit it today, but we'll go there. But it was soon demonstrated that neither agreements nor machinery for settling differences among nations could be effective when a country adopted a policy of aggression. You see, it doesn't make any difference whether the United Nations exists or how many times, you know, how you wear your cap or how many badges or coronations you've got on your shirt. When you get a neocon administration like the bunch that we had back in 2000 come into place, it doesn't make any difference. Once the country adopts a policy of aggression, it's going. The League of Nations could not keep Japan from attacking China in 1931 and 1937, and the United Nations could not keep the United States from attacking Afghanistan and Iraq in the year 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, and on right up to today. It continues. The United Nations is not able to keep the nation state of Israel from pummeling once again the Gaza Strip in its 22-day war, which you've heard about here all over Oracle Broadcasting. But it was soon demonstrated that neither agreements again nor machinery for settling the differences among nations could be effective when a country adopted a policy of aggression. So this League of Nations again could not keep Japan from attacking China in 31 and 37, or Italy from seizing Ethiopia in 1935. In Italy, Germany, and Japan, governments came to power which were determined to gain territory even at the price of war. Oh my, so much going on in all of this. And we're going to go into it in greater detail in the second hour. But I just remind you again that if you do value what you hear here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, spread the word. I'm not familiar with all of the tricks and the games and on the internet of how you can go to MySpace and Twitter and Facebook and all those things, but Podcast Alley, but spread the word. Get other people listening to this network, and we'll all be on the right track soon enough. We'll be back right after this brief break for the start of hour number two. Stay with us.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of Cutting Edge Talk Radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And while we wait for many of our affiliates to join us again after the top of the hour news break, I'll just remind you again, you are listening to Become Vocal Local over the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name is William Roberts, your host, and today is Monday, March the 2nd, 2009, and this is the beginning of the second hour of today's broadcast. Now, going back into research, if you will, I like to define my terms. We've been reading from an encyclopedia article here written years ago. But if we turn to the Black's Law Dictionary, 8th edition, this is the latest and greatest, folks. I have a friend of mine. There's a friend of mine out in California, who's an attorney. And he told me basically that when you're studying law, you look at these law dictionaries like Black's Law or Bouvier's, some of the others, but Black's Law particularly, these are the terminology. These are the words that lawyers are schooled in. And so they generally don't go to the common dictionaries, the Webster's, the others, unless they're writing something and they're trying to understand meanings and things like that. But for all legal purposes, they go to the Black's Law Dictionary and get their definitions right out of this. Now, there's other places. There are a couple of others, but I like this one. This is a great big heavy black book. It costs about, I don't remember, I think I paid $85, $90 for it. The 8th edition, Brian Garner, editor-in-chief. You turn over and look in international. We're looking at international and starting to figure out this new international economic order. But just look at international in the law dictionaries and see how long this section might be. I'll give you a few of the heads while we close out this first 5-minute segment. International administrative law. And it says, see administrative law. You understand that we're not under necessarily our constitution, that we're being run by these almost autonomous administrative agencies. There's hardly a question of constitutionality about anything that's happening in our government. Well, this is just one of the heads here. International administrative law, giving you the idea that there is an administrative law that spreads across the globe. International agreement. Again, this is right out of Black's Law Dictionary, starting under the heading of international. An international agreement, it's a treaty or other contract between different countries. A treaty or other contract between different countries, such as GATT or NAFTA. And then they send you on other places. Here's a little inset. It says, though international agreements are known by a variety of titles, such as treaties, conventions, pacts, acts, declarations, protocols, accords, arrangements, concordats, and modi vivendi, none of these terms has an absolutely fixed meaning. The more formal political agreements, however, are usually called treaties or conventions. And this was by Oscar somebody, An Introduction to the Law of Nations, page 261, published in 1955. So see, even the law dictionaries go back into the time period that I refer to on a regular basis. But we can see from this that none of these terms that you hear have any fixed or absolute meanings. And that just points you right back to Auguste Comte, where he says everything is relative and that is the only absolute. There was a change in the middle of the 1800s, in the 19th century, there's a change. Logical positivism began to come on the scene. We've got about a minute. There was a profound thought that came to my mind in 2004 on June 30th, midnight, and the next day, July the 1st. But on that day, I came up with this idea. There's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law. That in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. And from that premise, I built years of study, and we're still looking at it today. Something's happened in the world during the rise of statism, and we'd be Johnny on the spot to understand it. Another one, international application. And more. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us for the hour number two.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book.
Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information, is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Monday, March the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we enter into the second hour, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you again today. If you missed the first hour of the broadcast, do access the Oracle chat room and the Oracle archives and pick up all of the information that is out there that you could have heard and you can hear again later on in today. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become Vocal Local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, as others have already done. Or you can pick up the telephone and call in. It's 512-904-8014 for those with unlimited long distance in the Austin, Texas area. And from around America and around the world, you can also call in toll-free. It's 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. You can also send your ideas for guest show topics and news to me via the email at host@vocallocal.org. Again, those listener call-in numbers are 866-841-1065, and from the Austin, Texas area, or for those with unlimited long distance, you can help us save some money by calling in at 512-904-8014 and join me live on air. We're back into more steady, as you've noticed, listening to these broadcasts, and as you continue to listen to these broadcasts in the future, we don't touch on light issues here. I'm not afraid of taking 2, 3, 4, 5 days, however many days it is necessary, to go into a concept and air it out fully, shake all the bed bugs out, and put the blankets up on the line, so to speak. We've been programmed into this mindset of living in 30-second sound bites, but you're not going to get very many 30-second sound bites here. I see no reason to change a topic if it's still panning out, let's say. So let's go into this a little bit further. We started out the broadcast. We're in an inquiry into the origin, the history, and the purpose of the new economic order. We're taking a look at international relations as they have impacted the creation and called it into existence, this new economic order. We started in on this article. This is out of an encyclopedia. And let's finish this article out and move on to the next one. We've been talking about the maintenance of peace, you know, peace, peace, and there will be no peace. And that all nations are supposedly benefit more from peace than from war, but we found that not to be the case. Here, dropping down in the article, but it was soon demonstrated that neither agreements nor machinery for settling differences among the nations could be effective once a nation adopted a policy of aggression. And we needn't go through all of that again. It's in the archives. But again, the result was World War II, which broke out in 1939 and continued until 1945. And after the war, a new society of nations, the United Nations, was formed. And its sponsors hoped that through it, countries could work together toward better understanding. And during its first 5 years, the United Nations was called upon to help maintain or bring peace to such countries as Indonesia, Israel, India, and Korea. In the case of Korea, the UN made an historic decision to use force to repel armed attacks by communist-trained North Koreans of the Republic of Korea in June of 1950. And as I said before, as we go through these various documents, we have got to have our eyes for discernment. We've got to have our antennas all the way up, because a lot of this is political socialization, and a lot of it is not. But salted in amongst these things, the authors still realizing that credibility means something and that their honor means something, these authors will still salt in valuable information that you really can find nowhere else. It's like reading the yearbooks. When you go back to the encyclopedias, you find information that was common knowledge on the street then that has now been conveniently forgotten. Here are some related subjects. Again, in these encyclopedia articles, oftentimes you'll find what I consider to be hot links posted at the ends of the articles. This, under international relations, has an enormous set of hot links. Here they are, related subjects. The reader is also referred to arbitration, aviation, the balance of powers, Bretton Woods, disarmament, Dumbarton Oaks, embargoes, espionage, foreign policy, the Four Freedoms, Freeports, Genoa Conference, Gentlemen's Agreement, International Law, Locarno Conference, the Monroe Doctrine, Neutrality, Open Door Policy, Peace, Reciprocal Trade Treaties, Ultimatums. Under organizations, go and see Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, the Foreign Policy Association, the International Joint Commission, International Labor Organization, that's the ILO, it's very important. International Settlements, the Bank for International Settlements, Interparliamentary Union, the League of Nations, Pan-American Union, Permanent Court of International Justice, the United Nations, and the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. All worthy of study. All information that you're not going to get in your mainstream media, and information you're not going to get in public education. The source here was from this, again, was the article, International Relations from the World Book Encyclopedia, Field Enterprises Educational Corp, 1958, Volume 9, page 3822. Let's go into something a little bit more interesting now, if that wasn't interesting enough. Very important, and I'm trying to organize these various articles in ways that will help us to understand the issues and answer questions, big questions. This is a very interesting and unusual article, the only article of its kind in any of my seven sets of volumes of encyclopedias, seven sets. This is an article, this is a sub-article, actually. This is article 12, this is a sub-point 12A out of a much, much larger article on banking. And this is the 12A, the Bank for International Settlements. Listen carefully. The Bank for International Settlements. This institution, popularly known as the World Bank. Now, this isn't the only reference in my encyclopedias to the World Bank. Generally, they're associated with the International Monetary Fund, but here in this article, they say that this institution is popularly known as the World Bank. continuing, it was organized under the Young Plan. How many have studied the Young Plan? Can we see a show of hands? For the primary purpose of receiving and dispersing the reparation payments imposed upon Germany as a result of the Treaty of Versailles, and to perform certain other functions in the international banking field. Its statutes defined its three objects or purposes. Here they are. Again, not found in any other book that I have. To promote the cooperation of central banks. To provide additional facilities for international financial operations. Additional facilities for international financial operations. And three, to act as trustee or the agent in regard to international financial settlements entrusted to it. Those are the three heads for this international bank, the Bank for International Settlements. The Young Plan, having abolished the various political controls which had been imposed on Germany, the experts who created the plan decided that a new authority, entirely non-political in its character, should be set up to perform those functions previously performed by the Agent General for Reparations. Furthermore, it was the idea of the Young Plan formulators to provide additional facilities for international movement of funds and to create an agency through which international financial operations could be expedited. However, when Germany defaulted in her reparations payments, the purpose, principal purpose for which the bank was created, ceased to exist. So back, stay right there.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
whole range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control mockingbird don't want you to know about.
Oh,
for those of you who haven't done the research on it, you really need to go back and take a look at the Treaty of Versailles. You know, the bar that was set for Germany was set impossibly high. It was set that high intentionally. It was set so that the German country, just the German people, could not pay these reparations from World War I. They couldn't pay back this debt. And so it just basically set up the environment, to use that queer word, it set up the environment for a new form of government to rise up out of the people, out of the crushed German Prussia, out of the Treaty of Versailles. They knew that something else would come, and they helped to raise up the Nazi order, if you will. But anyway, back in the Young Plan, the Treaty of Versailles, we're looking at the Bank for International Settlements being created. And it says here, when Germany defaulted in a reparations payment, the principal purpose for which the bank was created ceased to exist. But like so many other organizations and so many other institutions, just because the original purpose or the principal purpose no longer exists, don't think they go away. The authorized capital of the bank was fixed at 500 million Swiss gold francs, equal approximately to 100 million American dollars, of which only 25% was paid in at the time of the organization. Who are the players? Who are the actors? Who are the stakeholders? Here they are. Between them, the United States, Great Britain, France, Italy, Belgium, Germany, and Japan subscribed to 55% of the capital stock of the bank. What I'm laying out here in the creation of this International Bank for International Settlements is a format, a formula, things that we will recognize over and over again as we go further into this little study. A system, if you will, of bank creation, international bank creations. The remaining 45% was sold to various countries either interested in reparations or whose currencies had been stabilized on a gold or gold exchange basis. The bank shares carried no voting right, such right being exercised by the central banks holding them. Interesting. Administrative control of the bank was vested in a board of directors consisting of not less than 14, nor more than 25 members, and composed of whom? The governors of the central banks of the seven countries. Above named, or their nominees, and seven other members nominated by them, each central bank governor being entitled to appoint as a director a national of his own country. And to this number were later added nine directors appointed by the central banks of other participating countries. During the period of annuity payments, Germany and France were permitted to appoint one additional director each. And so what we have here being created is a bank for international settlements to settle this dispute reparations that was being created and headed up, basically, by the governors of the central banks. And as you know, there's nothing federal about the Federal Reserve. So in a way, you could think this as being a central bank for central bankers for international affairs. Let's go into it a little deeper here. It says, the organization committee of the bank held its first full session when? On October the 3rd of 1929. At which time the statutes, charter, and the bill of trust were drafted. On the 9th of November, 1929, Basel, Switzerland was chosen as the location of the bank. On the 22nd of April, 1930, Gates W. Magara, the chairman of the board of directors of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, was elected the first president of this new institution. And Pierre Quesnay of the Bank of France was chosen as the managing director. The board of directors held its first official meeting in Basel on the 12th of May, 1930. By the 20th of May, 1930, the bank opened for business. It's still open, folks. The authority of the bank to engage in various kinds of operations was limited by the statutes, which specified that it could accept deposits from and act as a discount agent for central banks. It could deal with private banks and individuals if the central bank of the respective country did not object. So it was not just simply a central bank for central bankers. It could also deal with individuals if the sent other banks, private banks, and individuals if the central bank, the Federal Reserve, or the respective country did not object. It could buy and sell gold and foreign exchange. And we're going to go into all of this in the days to come. It could rediscount for central banks, etc. However, it had no authority to issue notes and was required to maintain a reserve of 40% in gold or foreign exchange against its demand deposits and 25% in gold or foreign exchange against all other deposits. In June of 1930, the bank successfully floated the first German annuity loan amounting to 300 million U.S., of which the United States absorbed approximately 100 million. On the 14th of July, 1930, the bank was made trustee for a new Austrian loan of 100 million. Since the lapsing in 1931 of its functions as trustee for countries which were creditors of Germany, it is engaged in short-term operations to meet gold and currency needs of member banks and has provided facilities for international financial operations. So it's the Bank of the World or the World Bank and the Central Bank for central bankers. And again, all of this from an article, Banks and Banking, Section 12A, Bank for International Settlements, Encyclopedia America Corporation, 1951, Volume 3, page 188 and 189. There's a lot going on there in the Bank for International Settlements. We're going to find out much more about it. This is another article related. All of these are related, step by step by step. We're talking about an international economic order, a new economic order internationally. Lend-Lease. Lend-Lease was a popular designation for the program of military and economic aid by the United States to the nations warring against the Axis powers in World War II. And in all of these articles, keep in mind the dollar amounts that we're talking about. I haven't done it on this broadcast, but I should perhaps get to it soon and read the It's Not Yours to Give article that I have in regards to Davy Crockett being upbraided by his constituents on the local level for giving away small grants or relief, if you will, to people that were whose homes were burned down in the Washington, D.C. area one time. Whose money is this? Whose money is this that is being so generously and humanitarianly handed out worldwide? Who's being invested by all of these central banks? Whose money is this? Lend-Lease, again, a popular designation for the program of military and economic aid by the United States to the nations warring against the Axis powers in World War II. The term Lend-Lease was derived from the title and wording of the bill outlining the program, which was submitted to Congress in January of 1941, enacted 2 months later as the Lend-Lease Act of 1941. And you can find that on the internet and read it. This bill empowered President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or Rothfeld, to, quote, sell, lease, lend, exchange with, or make available in any other way to the governments of any country whose defense the president seems or deems vital to the defense of the United States, any defense article. We can sell it, we can lease it, we can lend it, we can exchange it, or just simply give it away. It's not yours to give, Mr. President, I would have to say. Assuming Davy Crockett's attitude, the bill further provided that repayment to the United States might be, quote, in kind or property or any other direct or indirect benefit which the president deems satisfactory, close quote. Isn't it nice to be charitable with other people's money? We'll be right back.
MySpace. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CCWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot-related profile, CCW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ccwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ccwpromotions.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And again, that call-in number is 866-841-1065 if you'd like to get your thoughts or ideas or questions out on the air. Back to this article again, Lend Lease. We're building up some foundation, some historical background for some of what's happening, most of what's happening in the economic situation today, especially the gold markets, and you're going to understand more about this as we go into it. But as we look at the concept of Lend-Lease, I could see a show of hands now for those who know who Bernard Baruch is and perhaps what his relationship was with the Lend-Lease program. And, of course, the venerable colonel, who is not a colonel, but so much as they like to say about the auctioneers, Colonel Edward Mandel House, of course, the alter egos, House and Baruch, Bernard Baruch, all around this process. Let's go into it a little bit deeper here. It says, the enactment of this legislation, again, had been strongly urged by President Rothfeld, as essential to American defense in view of the prevailing military situation. Of course, you know, we got drug into that war, just like we got drug into the war previously by the Crown. You're going to see who one of the primary beneficiaries was, too, by the way. The president warned that further successes by the Axis powers would endanger the security of the United States. Can you hear Barry the usurper crying out to Congress here? That our whole economy, the world global economy, will go down if we don't get all this, you know, stimulus packages passed? Sounds just the same to me. Soon after passing the bill, Congress authorized an initial appropriation of $7 billion for its implementation. Notice they say an initial appropriation because this author knows that the actual figure was much higher. The government, the Office of Lend-Lease was established in October of 1941 as what? As an independent agency of the federal government, like FEMA, or an independent agency. Why is the federal government creating independent agencies? If it can be done by an independent agency, could it not be done by a private corporation? That way they could either survive or fail on their own merit. Anyway, continuing here. The Office of Lend-Lease was established as an independent agency of the federal government to administer the act. This agency functioned until September of 1945 when it was abolished and its functions transferred to the U.S. Department of State. You know what? FEMA is kind of just like a collection agency. They collect all these little failed programs, but the programs never go away. They just disappear under the radar screen and they continue on. So here this idea of Lend-Lease, the agency itself, which functioned until September of 1945, it was abolished, but its functions were transferred to the U.S. State Department. And in the article on foreign relations, we showed the importance of the State Department there. In October 1941, the aid program was extended to the Soviet Union. Isn't that convenient? Which had been attacked by Germany 4 months previously. Thereafter, the United States began to function as the quote-unquote arsenal of democracy, making the world safe for democracy. All of these new democracies in the Near and Middle East, right? The United States began to function as the quote-unquote arsenal of democracy. Even after its own entry into the war in December of 1941, the United States not only produced the vast amounts of materiel needed for its own war effort, but also was a major source of supply for its allies. If you'll think about the consumption, the radical consumption of natural resources and the exportation of those natural resources in the forms of military armament that oftentimes wind up scuttled in the bottom of the ocean, blasted to pieces on hillsides, wound up in the jungles of Vietnam or in Korea or someplace, being melted down and turned into little anvils and a variety of parts and pieces being sold back into existence again. The wholesale stripping of huge mountains of iron ore and stuff and coal and other things. The arsenal of democracy. What could we have been doing with our resources and our people and our finances at this time period, as opposed to creating this ridiculous armament industry? Among the other nations which received substantial quantities of war materials, notice the word substantial quantities of war materials under the Lend-Lease programs, besides Great Britain, China, and the USSR, were the Netherlands, Belgium, Poland, Norway, Greece, Czechoslovakia, and Yugoslavia. The Free French Forces were also included. You know anything about the Free French Forces, the Foreign Legion, where you don't need any background checks and you don't need to bring any ID? Murderers, rapists, traitors, welcome. In September 1942, the United States negotiated a reciprocal aid agreement with Great Britain, the Free French, Australia, and New Zealand, whereby American troops stationed overseas were to receive material assistance from the signatory nations. This agreement was popularly known as reverse Lend-Lease and was subsequently extended to other nations where American forces were stationed. How many countries of the world today do we have American forces stationed? Seems to be a continuing phenomenon, doesn't it? By August of 1945, the month in which hostilities ended, expenditures by the United States for the Lend-Lease program totaled about $48 billion. Notice it started at $7 billion and went up fourfold, well, more than that, far more than that, went up by seven times, seven, $48 billion, of which about 70% had gone to Britain, 70% of $48 billion had gone to Britain, and about 25% to the Soviet Union. Creating the best enemies money can buy, folks. The United States Congress. The United States had received more than $6 billion in reverse Lend-Lease, so we were $42 billion in arrears, mostly from the British Commonwealth, Although the program was officially terminated in August 1945, President Harry S. Truman stipulated that the goods previously scheduled for shipment would be sent to the countries which had ordered them, chiefly Great Britain and China, and by March 1948, goods valued at more than another $2 billion had been shipped in accordance with the stipulation. So even though the war had ended, anything that had been ordered on the Lend-Lease program was still delivered to the tune of another $2 billion U.S. Arrangements for the settlement of the debts incurred by the recipient nations under the Lend-Lease program were begun shortly after hostilities ceased. In December of 1946, President Truman announced that 70% of the total amount expended by the United States was considered repaid. In actuality, this allowance constituted a recognition by the United States of the enormous losses in men and material sustained by the European and Asian nations, which basically is just a way of saying that very little ever came back to the United States. Negotiations for the final settlement of the remaining British debt were successfully concluded in July of 1948. Preparations for the settlement of the debt of the USSR were begun in 1948 in December, yet agreement had not been reached by the end of 1954, 6 years later. It seems that some people make promises they never keep, and if you're expecting some communists to keep their promises, you were definitely out to lunch. This was all from an article, Lend-Lease, found in the Funk and Wagnall Standard Reference Encyclopedia by Wilfred Funk, 1961, volume 15, pages 5,569 through 70. Now we come into a very important part of this discussion on foreign exchange. How many really understand foreign exchange? I surely didn't until I started in and started diving into this. Let's find out just a little bit more about what is foreign exchange. Foreign exchange, currency, and money claims, such as bank balances and bank drafts, expressed in the equivalent value in foreign money, this article begins. So there is a little bit of a definition of foreign exchange. It's currency and money claims, such as bank balances and bank drafts, expressed in the equivalent value in foreign money. If you go up on kitco.com, www.kitco.com, scroll down to the bottom of the front page, you'll see exchange rates. And then there's a long list of this great big basket of currencies, and it lists these various rates, foreign exchange rates. And it's on a commodities website. Why? Because foreign exchange is a commodity. Continuing from the article here, it says, thus a pound sterling note is money in Great Britain, but it is foreign exchange in the United States. A deposit of $1,000 in an American bank to the account of a French company constitutes that amount of foreign exchange in France. It's a commodity, you see. The term foreign exchange is also used to refer to transactions involving the conversion of money of one country into that of another or to the international transfer of money and credit instruments. Foreign exchange, a new topic for discovery. We'll be back right here to become vocal.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You know, many of you may recall the big shindig that the Ron Paul people had up in Minneapolis-St. Paul, during the Republican convention. They held theirs in their own place, the Campaign for Liberty. And you remember, perhaps, from the YouTube videos and other clips, the End the Fed chants that were going up, End the Fed, End the Fed, and now there's whole groups out there that are circulating petitions trying to raise up a million signatures to let the Congress know that we want to end the Fed. Damn me for it if you like, but I am a political realist. That kind of activity is so counterproductive. It speaks volumes to the global cabal that the people that are championing these concepts know little, precious little, of the real economic situation, the global economic markets. These are basically local solutions to global problems, and of course, local solutions to global problems rarely function. They rarely work. But back in this concept here of foreign exchange, as we get to understand a little bit more about some of the things I'm going to share in the next few days, perhaps we can start looking for real solutions rather than these utopian pipe dreams that can never come to pass. Going back in here again, it says a deposit of $1,000 in an American bank to the account of a French company constitutes that amount of foreign exchange in France. The term foreign exchange is also used to refer to transactions involving the conversion of money of one country into that of another, or to the international transfer of money and credit instruments. The use of foreign exchange arises from the fact that different nations have different monetary units, and the currency of one country cannot be used for making payments in another country. Did you get that? That the currency of one country cannot be used for making payments in another country, whether you're buying a pack of cigarettes in Canada, a gallon of gas, I guess it's a liter there, or whether you're, you know, buying a six-pack in America, trying to use a Canadian dollar more than 100 miles from the border on either side. It's going to be pretty difficult. Same goes with the dollar U.S. in Canada. You always have to stop at a bank and get so many dollars Canadian before you go up to Vancouver or Victoria for a weekend. Because of trade, travel, and other transactions between individuals and business enterprises of different countries, it becomes necessary to convert money into currency of other countries in order to pay for goods or services in those countries. And if you look at the dollar bill, It tells you all about it. It tells you the whole story. Good for legal tender in the United States of America, of course, but not elsewhere. Here's the crux of the matter. The transfer of money values from one country to another and the determination of the price at which the currency of one country will be surrendered for that of another constitute the main problems of foreign exchange. And so while you're marching around on the streets of America with your pocket full of tin, or paper as it generally works out, you're carrying around foreign exchange, you're carrying around a commodity in your pocket. Price fluctuation, subhead under the article foreign exchange. Foreign exchange is a commodity, and its price fluctuates in accordance with supply and demand. Exchange rates are published daily in the principal newspapers of the world. With very few exceptions, rates are not free to fluctuate by more than 1% on either side of a fixed par value. Foreigners need dollar exchange to pay for goods imported from the U.S. for services supplied by Americans, for interest and dividends earned by American capital invested abroad, for the purchase of securities in the U.S., and for many other types of transactions. This is bigger than the dollar for a pack of smokes concept. Much bigger. When you talk about entire container loads of Chinese plastic crap, the cheap Communist Red Army products coming by the container loads brought over by all of the various and sundry container lines, OOCL and others, the Orient Overseas Container Line and many others. You've seen them on the back of the mini land bridge riding on the back of railroad car flat cars that hold 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 of these containers at a time. That's the mini land bridge. And none of those containers have touched ground yet. And when they do finally touch ground, their seals are broken and they're opened, and now they've been berthed. And at that time, they need to be paid for. Americans buy foreign exchange for similar reasons. The payments for services which must be made by one country to another include freight charges, insurance premiums, commissions, and travel expenditures. Here's a big one. Immigrant remittances and charitable contributions are other items that give rise to demand for and supply of foreign exchange. One of the reasons why while the borders are still open between the United States, Mexico, the United States, Canada, and the borders around the world is because of the United Nations International Migration and Development Agenda, but also because it's a great big moneymaker for Wells Fargo and the others that are involved in this foreign exchange process as the immigrants' remittances go back and forth between the United States and India or Pakistan or South American countries or Mexico or Canada, wherever they're going. To the tune of billions and billions and billions and billions, the foreign exchange between the illegals and the legal aliens in this country and Mexico is either the number one or the number two top seller in their gross domestic product. New York City merchants importing goods from Great Britain buy drafts on London from their banks. This goes all the way back to the time of sailing vessels, folks. These drafts or bills of exchange create a supply of dollars and a demand for pounds. At the same time, other American merchants sell goods to persons in Great Britain and receive drafts payable in pounds, which they desire to convert into dollars. The foreign exchange banker, here's this new banker, this international banker, the foreign exchange banker buys the pounds from the American exporters and sells them to the importers who need pounds in exchange for their dollars. Ordinarily, and in the absence of government restrictions, the rate of exchange or the price of the currency of one country in terms of that of another will depend on overall supply and demand conditions on the relative purchasing power of the two currencies, that is, on the competitive position of the currencies in world markets. And so each day as we go through the financials and we get past the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ, the next item in your chart that I talk about each day is the U.S. dollar index trading today up 19 at 88.73 as of 9 o'clock a.m. New York City time. And so we're looking at the competitive position of the U.S. dollar exchange, the U.S. dollar index, right there. Gold and wealth tend to flow away from countries that are forced to buy more than they sell abroad. Key phrase. Key phrase. The gold and wealth tend to flow away from countries that are forced to buy more than they sell abroad. For all of the last century, our gold and wealth flowed away from the United States of America. This was not an accident, to the tune of billions and billions and billions. Formerly, when many countries were on the gold standard and permitted the free flow of gold out of the country, the value of their currencies in terms of other country currencies could fluctuate within only a very narrow range. The deviation from the par value, that is, the value representing the metallic content of the monetary unit, could not be more than the cost of shipping gold. There was a real reason, a very pressing reason, to take gold standards, you know, take money off the gold standard. It was only too convenient to do international trade when we had the gold standard, but we wanted to have this middleman, always the international banker, or as Ford called him, the international Jew. Be kind of a little bit broad sweeping, but nevertheless, the international bankers. As soon as the rate of exchange reached a point equivalent to the par value plus the expense of shipping the gold, it became more profitable to send gold abroad than to buy the foreign currency at a higher price. Today, however, when the free export of gold is subject to many government restrictions, the stabilizing influence of gold movements has been greatly reduced. And again, this is an article written in 1972 out of the Funk and Wagnall Encyclopedia. So there's a lot to this. We'll pick it up and go from here tomorrow. There's lots more interesting broadcasting today. Stay tuned for Josh Reeves coming up next and so many more broadcasts all the way up until this time again tomorrow. So I always appreciate it when you listen. I hope you've learned something, taken some notes. And if you want to get a hold of me, got a question, send me an email, host@vocallocal.org. Again, that's host@vocallocal.org, and I'll do my best to answer your questions. Until then, till tomorrow, have a good afternoon.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.